Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host for Raju Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me, folks. Me and Dr. Abrams, Dr. Jasmine Abrams, who is a researcher, she's a scientist from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. She has decided to take on the tremendous task of getting to the bottom of this whole idea, this idea of the strong black woman. She has put together a report and has done some research around this and has found some very, very interesting things, things that some people may know, but things that other people may not know. But more importantly, as I like to have solution-oriented conversations, I feel like we know that, yes, our experience from the transatlantic slave trade and slavery has done a heck of a job on our psyche, on our bodies, on our spirits, so much so, as brother talked about Dr. Joy LeGru and how it's being a part of who we are today, the generations upon generations of folks. After the chattel slavery, we are still suffering in some way, shape, or form from what is happening right now. And so as we have this conversation, I want us to get past not just that. We can recognize that and acknowledge that, Doc. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to now get to a space of considering that we understand that dynamic. Mm-hmm. This is modern 2019. We are more distracted now. And yet we have more scientific advancements. We are much more in tune. We're much more. We are evolving. And I truly believe this, folks. We are evolving into a different human being as of right now. Mm. As of right now, our experiences as black people, experiences of black women, of black women today, is going to serve as the foundation for the next generation that's coming up tomorrow and for days after. And so we cannot allow, and I'm going to say, we cannot allow for us to get into a space of ignorance. Ignorance has to be one of the greatest enemies of the black community today. Ignorance. And my second enemy is our unwillingness to change. We are a people that can adapt, and we have adapted to so many different things, but we're seeming to be in a stagnant place. And when it comes to mental health, when it comes to moving on to the next chapter, when it comes to getting help, when it comes to all of these discussions, it's like we have yet to really, really change.
Yeah, I feel like we could definitely say that about some people, but I don't want to convey that a lot of the challenges that black people are experiencing socially, economically, in terms of their health, et cetera, is because of an unwillingness to change, is because of ignorance. A lot of this is directly related to oppression, marginalization, systematic racism. Like, these things are inextricably linked to a lot of the problematic outcomes and social issues that we're experiencing as a people.
I agree. But there is power in us.
Absolutely. I don't want to, my goal of making that statement is to make sure we're not individualizing problems that exist at a macro societal level.
Right.
We definitely have power in us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. My God, we've survived so much.
No. I'm glad you bring that up because, again, that's part of the challenge. And I think to add to that is the fact that we have to see that we are a part of a people. You know, I remember I had an author on the show before. Her name was, she's a what they call a whiteness scholar. And she wrote this book called White Fragility.
Yes.
And her name is Robin. One of my favorite people, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she mentioned was that individualistic thinking is a major quality of the white community. The white community do not see themselves as part of, I mean, when you hear white people tend to talk about white community, that's mostly coming from those who are part of the white supremacist groups and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But the average, quote-unquote, white person, she said, does not see themselves as part of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for black people,
mm-hmm.
that's the way we are kind of conditioned to believe and think.
Absolutely.
However, we're fighting against that.
Mm-hmm.
We're fighting against it. There's this individualism that exists that keeps us in a space where we don't see that we are part of links of a chain, that we are not connected to our history, that one person's achievement is truly above the collective achievement. That's not the case. That is not the scenario facing black people in this country.
Yeah, I think it is for a certain subset. So I don't want to make like over generalizations, but I do agree that we are starting to see this emergence of an individualism permeate black culture, which it used to be more of a collective approach.
Yeah, village approach, right?
Yeah. And I think that's a direct result of us being here in this country. You go to, you know, back to the motherland, and not to say that individualism doesn't exist there, it certainly does.
Sure.
But there are, you'll see tribal practices and beliefs that are completely conflicting to what we have here, that are based and grounded in community and we and us, that we've moved away from. But largely, a lot of this is strategic. It's strategically done based on these colonial practices to divide and conquer, divide
right.
and rule,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? To separate people so there isn't a sense of community.
Sure.
Turn them against each other. Oh, yeah, it's the light-skinned people against the dark-skinned people. It's the house niggas
right.
against the slave.
Right.
You know, excuse my language, but these strategies were certainly used to divide us. And they in many ways they've been successful.
And as a result of that, we're finding black women are carrying the burden of all of that. All of that, right? Even black men are carrying the burden as well. But it's expressed differently. But that's certainly something that we have to keep in mind. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, because me and Dr. Abrams could talk all day, all night. Let's go to Darrell in Baltimore. Darrell, thank you for your great patience. What's your take on this?
Yeah, how you doing? Thank you, Brother Muhammad and Dr. Abrams, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
About the subject, which is a very interesting subject, I just wanted to just say this. I wouldn't blame too much on the black women. I wouldn't blame anything on the black man, because we have gotten too complacent, too comfortable, and if you don't mind me saying, too lazy. And in the situation of you know, what the system has done to us, as far as, you know, slavery, as far as Reconstruction, Jim Crow, and all the other systems that have put us in this situation where that you have black women. When I was coming up, you know, I saw a lot of black women going to school and going to college, and brothers were hanging out on the corner, dealing in drugs, and they just said, well, the black woman said, well, like, forget this. If you're not going to be with me, and if you're not going to, as far as do what I'm doing, then I'm just going to leave you behind. So brothers had just went on to say, well, okay, well, that's fine. I'll just be a baby maker. And if that black woman pretty much, you know, getting her education and having a career and taking care of the kids. So with us being this complacent, comfortable, and being lazy, I pose the question to Dr. Abrams. Dr. Abrams, what do you want for the black community, those that call in and that are listening, what do you suggest that we should do in this type of situation? Because, like I said, I've seen this type of situation where, you know, I mean, what do we do?
Good question. Hey, Darrell, thank you so much for checking in. Then we'll talk to Derek in a moment. But Dr. Abrams.
Wow, Darrell, that's a really, really powerful question. I could write a book on that, but I'll try to keep my response brief. I think if we're centering black women in this conversation, and I love our sister Angela Davis, who talks about, if we as a culture and as a society center black women, what we would be able to accomplish. She specifically talks about, you know, in order to center and liberate Black women, we would be centering and liberating everyone else so that we can get to that point. And she's mm-hmm. since sort of adapted her statement by talking about Black trans women who experience, you know, even more marginalization and oppression. But going back to what would I have us do as a people, again, centering Black women, I think make space for these Black women that are in your lives. Today, right now, you're on your way home from work, people stuck in traffic. Think about the Black women in your life who are holding it down. Whether you're a man, a woman, whether it's you yourself doing it, make space for that woman.
That's dope.
Make space for
her.
That's
dope, Dr. Abrams.
Listen to her. I tell people, you know,
loving it.
After these suicides that happened in the fall, it was Anthony Bourdain and I believe Kate Spade. Everyone was posting on social media, check on your strong friends. That's not enough, because I'm conditioned as a Black woman to tell you, oh, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm making it. I'm blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. So, you know what I'm saying? That's not enough. Don't check on me. If you see me exhibiting signs of depression, help me figure out how to make how to identify a therapist and make me an appointment. Take me, watch my kids, buy my groceries for the week, fill my gas tank up. Help me. Don't just give me lip service. Help me.
Let's go back to the lines. Derek, talk to me. What's your take? Thank you for your patience.
Thank you so much, Faraji. I really appreciate you taking my call.
You are.
I think that what the doctor just finished saying has a great deal of relevance in terms of centering the Black woman. First of all, we have to point out the real fact that the real illusion is the strong white male. White males are not strong. They're just angry, and they beat everybody up. That's all. Now, women have always been the progenitors of civilization. They've always carried civilization. When God chose to manifest, as Christians believe, himself, he chose a woman to build a man.
Mm-hmm.
Black women will have to build the kind of men that they want to help them. They are the mothers.
Wait a minute. Hold on, man. Oh, man, Derek. Lord, there's not enough time in this show. Derek, you said Black women have to build the kind of man that they want.
Exactly.
Wait, please clarify.
That has always been the responsibility of women throughout time.
But, okay. All right.
And we can look at women in history. Sarah.
Here's the thing. Is that really, again, we're talking about how do we not make, we're talking about how do we relieve that burden from a woman? And you're suggesting that she do the great task of building a man.
She is the one who has the children.
Okay.
She is the builder of human beings. That's what she does.
That's true. That's true. But I'm saying to you is, in today's modern society of 2019, would that be a fair, realistic expectation to put on the shoulders of a Black woman?
I'm not talking about expectations. That's not what I'm talking about. I think that Black women are expecting Black men to be strong. And Black men do not have a model of strength from which to pattern their own behavior.
I'm gonna push back on that. I don't think that's true. I think that we do have a model of strength. I think there are men, there have been numerous Black men in our sojourn in history in this country that we can identify with. That we can mimic ourselves, that we can strive to be like. I don't think that. I don't even think that. I think Black women do have models of womanhood today.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too many of our great people. We got too many heroes and sheroes to say that we don't have nobody. You mean it?
Let me
I'm gonna say this very quickly.
I know your father, and he's a very strong man.
But that's what I'm saying. My father's a strong man. But he got there because of my mother.
Mm.
But she didn't build him. Mm. He came already in a certain space. You know what I'm saying?
His mother built him.
No. No. No, sir. I got to let you go, Derek. I got to let you go because I want Dr. Abrams to kind of respond to this idea. Because I notice this is heavy. This is real big. This is real big. And I'm you know, real talk, Derek, I appreciate you sharing that because I feel like a lot of men may take on that same mindset. But Dr. Abrams, talk to me.
So I did another study with black women about their views of black men. And the title of the study, the first part of it, is Circumstances Beyond Their Control. Mm-hmm. And so black women talked a lot about how, just like Derek just mentioned, you know, a lot of black men haven't had a model. You know, black men are facing disproportionate rates of incarceration, discrimination when they're trying to get jobs, just stereotypes associated with being a black man. And all of these things make it harder for them to fulfill this traditional gender role of being provider, protector. Mm-hmm. And in that regard, a lot of women did feel like, you know, they want men to show up in more of a whole fashion, more of a whole way, you know, a man who has his things together. But they also felt like, I recognize that this man is facing different challenges, et cetera. And some women, some of the women who had like advanced degrees, et cetera, mm-hmm. Were higher earners. They talked about, you know, sometimes as a woman that's accomplished a lot, if I'm dealing with a black man, I feel like I can't show up in my sort of normal way. Mm-hmm. I need to minimize myself to make him feel more manly or more comfortable in this relationship. Otherwise, I think one of our participants said no black man wants a woman that's smarter than he is. Mm. And so they felt like they needed to minimize and shrink themselves so that they could be, quote unquote, more of a woman. Well,
and you know what? And that, what comes to my mind is the word competition, which is not what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm saying, again, we're talking about, of course, from a heterosexual construct, right? Mm-hmm. But there always are power dynamics, whether you're heterosexual, absolutely, gay, or lesbian, or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely.
But when in any relationship, there is a power dynamic that exists.
Absolutely.
So regardless of who's in the relationship, the mm-hmm. fact is, you know, competition instead of understanding roles.
Right. I do want to make sure I touch on what Derek mentioned in terms of black women as building black men. I am hoping that what was being referenced was this idea of making sure that black women who are parents are raising black boys to be men that can provide for themselves and don't need to look to a woman so that they can enjoy their livelihood and et cetera, et cetera. That's what I hope Derek was saying. I'm really hoping that I wasn't hearing that, you know, when you get a black man and his things are not together, that you need to help this man figure it out. I think both people who are showing up to a relationship need to help, or in this day and age, a number of people who are showing up to the relationship. Okay? Whoever's showing up to the relationship, we all need to make sure we're being supportive of our partner or partners, right? It shouldn't be, you know, my role as the woman helping to build up the man or your role as the man helping to build up the woman. It's just us here for each other, helping to support each other.
Gotcha. Let's go to Kelsey and Owens Mill. Kelsey, what's your take? Thank you for your patience.
Yes, hi, Brother
Pavard.
My name is Doctor.
How you doing?
Okay, so my take on this is, just like women, we are naturally nurturers.
Right.
The male has an innate trait to be, you know, to take the lead. But I think throughout the years, you know, we have lost that bond, family bond, being raised in the household where the male takes charge and the woman has her role. Now, I'm not talking about control because that's totally different.
Yeah.
But they have, a lot of males I noticed that I have came across now, they have a misconception between control and being able to take the lead. Mm. It's a difference. Mm. And they really have it mixed up. You know, control is something different.
No, that's true.
And I think we need to teach the children, you know, role model that in our home. You know, show them this what a man is supposed to do in the family and what the female is supposed to do. You know, so they'll know and be able to nurture that and raise their kids the same way. And another thing I would like to say is that we can't build men. We have, men have the innate trait to be in charge, to know when to take the lead.
Right.
You know, and I feel like just from experience in a bad relationship, I got tired of being the one that always make the decisions. Oh, you know, and I'm like, you have to decide sometimes. Sometimes I like that challenge.
Yeah.
If I don't have a man that's willing to step up and challenge something or whatever, then he can't, be in charge and take control in my home.
Yeah.
You know, that's not my role.
So, and Kelsey, I appreciate you for bringing that up, and I think you're absolutely on point. And I think that if you are a believer, then that also is another element, I'm thinking, Dr. Abrams, in understanding, in a person's understanding of their role and responsibility. What is at least one or two takeaways that we can get from this conversation? This is a very big conversation. I feel like we're going to have to bring you on again, Dr. Abrams. But what are some of the things that we can take away from this conversation? And then how can people learn more about the work that you've done as a scientist and as a researcher on this topic?
Absolutely. So some takeaways from this conversation. One of our first callers, Lisa, and I believe Renee and Candace, all sort of started talking about this idea of being tired. I think it was Renee that said, if I could have checked myself in somewhere, I would have.
Absolutely.
And she felt like she couldn't have done that because what she was experiencing was, if I check myself out, if I go into somewhere to get the services that I need to be a whole woman, a whole human, all of these things are going to collapse. Mm-hmm. And she may very well be right. And so one of the other callers that called in said, what do we do? Just like your question now, I'm reiterating, show up for Black women. When you show up for Black women, you're not just showing up for that one woman. Most of these women are representing a family, holding down a family, holding down a community. So when you show up for Black women, you're showing up for a family. You're showing up for a community. You're showing up also for that woman herself. And we've started this really big movement of self-care. I really appreciate it. But self-care is null and void unless women prioritize themselves first. We talk about, being able to pour into others. If your cup is not full, how are you going to allow that cup to run over to fill up somebody else's cup?
That's real.
We have to prioritize self-care. And being able to do that is making sure you're part of a community that's going to support your endeavoring for self-care. One quote that I really love is one by our sister Audre Lorde. She said, caring for myself is not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation. And that is an act of political warfare.
Woo! Let's give Audre Lorde a warm round of applause for that joint right there, because that's, she deep.
Sis is deep.
Dr. Jasmine Abrams, I appreciate you so much. I thank you so much. Let me see what we're going to try to get on the other side. On the other side. All right, we got to take a quick pause. We want to get one more call on the other side before we bring in our other guests. But so stick around. We got a whole lot coming up for the final 30 of For the Culture right here on
my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. And we're joined, have been joined by Dr. Jasmine Abrams, who is a scientist, a researcher. As we talk about this whole idea of the strong black woman, let me just say this very quickly. This is such a big topic, and so if you were not able to get to be heard, it's certainly not because we didn't want to hear from you. It's just something that we talk about a lot. This covers a lot. This covers a lot. So we are very, very grateful to Dr. Abrams for being a part of this conversation because I don't think I could have had this by myself, to be honest, to be real with you folks. I have no qualms in saying that. I could not have had this conversation without having a system to talk about this in the context and in the way that Dr. Abrams has been able to do it. So we got one more call about this topic. We got Cozy. Cozy, what's your take? And thank you for your great patience.
Farazi, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm still the meanest militant man in Maryland, but I'm all right.
All right, that's good, Cozy. What's your take on this, brother?
Well, my take is this. Well, first of all, I want to address what the caller Renee said earlier. There was no men around and all this kind of stuff, you know, and they out in jail and having kids all around. Well, I ain't in jail. I ain't got a bunch of kids around. I don't have a bunch of kids all out there and none of that. There's still some good men out here, and you can find me all the time. Just ask all five of my girlfriends. They'll tell you they know where I'm at the whole time. No, but really, my take is all of this is done by design. It really is. Like she said earlier, the doctor said earlier, you know, he's trying to, you know, split us up, you know, separate the man from the woman. I mean, that's been going on since like 1970, right?
Right. Well, I mean, the separating the man from the woman, you mean black men from black women? That's been happening since our sojourn in this country.
Absolutely. And they ramped it up even harder around 1970, and Margaret Sanger came out with the abortions and all of that. They're trying to wipe us out. That's right. Why I'm saying militant.
Right, right. Know? So, but, let me ask you this question to me, because mm-hmm. you're talking about your girlfriends, Cozy. The fact is, you have a lot of women that are really struggling to maintain some level, and I'm gonna say it like this: some mental sanity, and maintain some healthy view of themselves and their ability to be women, and to really they're struggling in their womanhood. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. what would you recommend for those sisters and for men who might be in those sisters' lives?
Well, we got to stay by our women. We got to uplift them. We got to, you know, talk positive and be there for them all the time, no matter what. We cannot give up on our women. We can't give up on the family. We can't give up on ourselves, or the other people win. So we got to stay with them no matter what.
We've been going through centuries. I hear you. Hey, Cozy, it's always good to hear from you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in. And you know what? And we didn't even have an opportunity, Dr. Abrams, to really talk about the race side because we've been talking about in the context of black women.
Yeah.
But there is another context of white women, mm-hmm. Latino women, mm-hmm. Native American women. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you have all of these other women. So, you know, understanding the ethnic and racial dynamics that this conversation can go. Because
right.
I'm thinking that it's a different experience for different women.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Whenever I present on this research in different areas, one of the things that I hear is, well, this doesn't sound like something that's unique to black women, Dr. Abrams. This sounds like all women. And what I say to folks in that instance is black women's experiences of migration and matriculation in this country mm-hmm. is not like any other women. Mm. That experience is unique. That experience has defined much of the gendered and racialized experiences that black women have on a day-to-day. So the experience of being a strong black woman is directly connected to, again, I've been saying it over and over, these experiences of oppression, these systematic ways that black women have been relegated to the margins. Mm-hmm. Black women and the men in their lives as well, their fathers, their brothers, their uncles, cousins, the men that they hope to and are partnered with. It's not just about having to show up as a strong person or feeling like you can't emote. It's doing all of that in the context of gender oppression, racial oppression, and gendered racial oppression. That's unique to Black women.
And very unique.
It's very unique to Black
women.
And
considering the fact that now there is, I see a lot more of Black women who are identifying themselves much more differently than Black women have done over the past 50 years, you know, past 100 years. Just we're in a different space, and I truly believe that there is a huge movement of consciousness that's emerging right now in terms of challenging the constructs, whether it's social, gender constructs, political constructs, but even more so than that, I see that there is a crying out right now that women and men are crying out for some level of equity and justice.
Absolutely.
In their roles and in their existence.
Absolutely.
So this is real deep. So again, folks, we've been talking to Dr. Jasmine Abrams, who has been instrumental in just helping to give us some articulation to this issue. How can people learn more about your work, Dr. Abrams?
Yeah, for sure. So thankfully, I've been working so hard that you can Google me, all right?
There you go.
Praise the Lord, saints. So you can certainly, if it's easier for you, you can Google me at Jasmine Abrams. My website, my personal website is www.drjasmineabrams.com. My research studies will come up on that page as well. So all of the work that I've been doing, not just trying to better understand Black women and their social roles and how that impacts their mental health, but I also do quite a bit of work on physical health as well, particularly with regard to HIV prevention. And just like in this conversation, we're generally as a culture, okay, for the culture as
right,
a culture.
Absolutely.
All right. We are generally focused on like this sort of deficit approach to understanding. What's the problem with? Why did it, you know? But one of the ways that my research has started to take shape, especially in the area of sexual health, is not just asking what's the problem with, which is what I've primarily been doing with HIV prevention, but also asking what's right. Okay, some people are having great sex.
Right.
Some people have great mental health.
Yeah.
Some people are, you know, achieving and being successful beyond their wildest dreams. So let's, you know, start tapping into some of those things. And that's some of what my newer research is beginning to tap into.
Well, Dr. Abrams, sounds like that newer research needs to be discussed.
Absolutely. You got to have me back, Taraji.
We would love to have you back. So I appreciate your time tonight. Again, thank you for delving deep into this important work of looking at this idea of the strong Black woman. I really, really appreciate you. And again, your website is drjasmineabrams.com.
Absolutely.
There we go.
And if you would allow me just to leave the folks who are listening with something. Is that all right with
That's
you?
That's all right. Go ahead. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay. Thank you, baby. I appreciate it. So for the strong Black women out there and for those who know them, I just want to say, like, when people are asking of you the world, when you are getting asks from everyone, can I borrow some money? Can I stay at your house? Can you pick my kids up? Can you do my laundry? Can you? I know it can feel like Renee mentioned earlier, like it's impossible to take that time and space for yourself. Like, how in the world are you supposed to rejuvenate when you are the source for so many people? But I encourage you to find someone, a good girlfriend, a sister, a church sister, a pastor, someone in your life that can help make space for you so that when you express a need to that person, one, you will feel comfortable expressing a need to that person, that it's going to be received well, that you'll feel heard, you'll feel valued, and that you will also feel supported from this person. That's my desire for the strong Black women out there. I want y'all to feel valued. I want y'all to be heard. I want people to show up for you, to help you, so that you don't have to carry the burden and the weight of this world on your own. I want people to pour into you without expectation of receiving anything in return. That's my affirmation for y'all.
Affirmation is so, so needed. Dr. Jasmine Abrams, Thank you so much for your research. Thank you for your insight. And certainly thank you for being so good for the culture. We will do our due diligence to bring you back on to continue to have this conversation and other conversations as you're doing your great research.
Thank you, Faraji.
You're welcome.
It's been a joy, a pleasure.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick pause. When we come back, we'll have our one-on-one discussion with Forbes coach Lakeisha Greenwald to talk about how you can take your brand to the next level. I ain't trying to stress you out. We're just going to give you some tips on what you can do to be great. All right, stay riding with us. It's For the Culture here on WEAA. All right, peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Man, I'm anytime you're in the you have the opportunity to connect with some powerful, powerful women, that's a blessing right there. And I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that energy right now. I'm really feeling the energy of these beautiful sisters that are coming in to share so much of themselves and the work that they're doing for the community and certainly for the culture.
For the culture.
So I'm so happy to have with us. She is a Forbes coach. She's a trained keynote presenter. She is a woman that has been doing it real big. Under 40 and all of that. She's the president of Lucky Fit LLC, which is a personal branding, coaching, and consulting firm based right here in Baltimore City.
Yes.
Miss Lakeisha Greenwald. Thank you so much. How are you, Lakeisha?
Good. Greenwade.
Greenwade. Excuse me. I appreciate that. Yes. Sometimes they call me Ferrari, and I'll be like, that's the car. I'm the guy. But Greenwade. Yes, ma'am. Lakeisha, how are you? You've been good?
Outstanding. Let me tell you, I've had so much culture, and it gets some more right here on the campus of Morgan State University.
Yes,
what?
Yes.
Excited.
Very excited. You should be excited. First and foremost, you've been doing some big things.
Thank you.
You are a graduate of Ohio State University.
Yes, go Bucks, the Ohio State University.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
You want me to do my OH? I would do it, but you know.
You would do it.
Oh,
University of Maryland, Smith School of Business.
Yes.
But you've really been doing coaching.
Yes.
And branding and marketing for a long time.
Yes. I you know what? Black don't crack, and almost about 20 years.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah, if you
want. Black don't crack. I've been doing this for almost 20 years. Let's go.
All right, Lakeisha.
Let's go. Let me just say, yes, black don't crack.
I love it.
So talk to us about this whole idea of branding.
Yes.
In terms of, because now, here's what I'm seeing a lot of right now, Lakeisha. Everybody is a doggone influence. I was going to say the other
one. Uh-oh.
Everybody is an influencer. You ever meet those people? You know, everybody on social media now is an influence. I'm like, yo, is this going to be the word of 2020? Is this what we at right now?
You know what? Influencers are key to many corporate strategies, and you will see an increase in those that are building their own personal brands try to transition to that term influencer. Basically, you know, if you can sell. That's what it's going to come down.
What are you selling,
Leticia? What are you selling? Hopefully something legal.
No, but so, okay. So how do we now, given the fact that we are in this new age, you've been in the game for a minute, mm-hmm. and you see the evolution of this.
Yes.
Right, right. So it's no longer the door-to-door sales. It's like phone-to-phone type thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no longer, you know, I've been in conversations where outside of the pleasantries of how are you, tell me a little bit about yourself, it gets right to, so how many followers are on you on social media, or, you know, what's your numbers like?
Yeah.
So give me some insight and give our listening audience some insight on how to navigate through those spaces to make sure that you are a business person of impact, mm-hmm. and not just a business person of numbers.
I'm so glad you said that, because sometimes those numbers that you see on those social media channels, they can, people say numbers don't lie, but sometimes they can lie.
Well, because there was a hip hop artist.
If they've been bought.
There was a hip hop artist that came out, and he got himself into some little trouble, Mr.
Yes.
Chad Arrington, Chad Focus. And it was like, you know, he took that route, and I'm not saying this to certainly, you know, throw shade on a brother, but it's just like how far you will go.
Yes.
To make sure that you are considered to be somebody worthy and valuable and
yes.
highly branded.
Yes.
And so, you know, using fraud and other monies to try to get your numbers up. But so you're saying what? That the branding starts from where?
Branding starts from within. Because if you don't have your own personal mission, your own personal message,
yeah.
anything else that you try to, you know, promote or whatnot is not going to work. The key thing, let me just take it back.
Yeah.
Regardless of the influx of technology and you see fewer people going door to door, the thing that remains consistent is connection to people. So how do you connect with people? Typically, brands connect, whether that be a personal brand or a business brand, you're going to connect on story, emotion, purpose, etc. So regardless of the means that you use to build your numbers, and I'll get the data in a second because mm-hmm. data is going to be important.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is building that brand, building that message, building that mission.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be the thing. And are you connecting? Are you connecting?
So then how did we get to a space? Because I'm reading a book about the development of character.
Oh,
yes. And the author talks about, like, we're in a place where we are looking at people as more as opportunity than other mm. than trying to build genuine connections with
mm-hmm.
people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we, when we meet somebody, the green dollar sign doesn't pop up in our eyes, or, you know, the idea of having a transactional relationship with somebody, like, yeah, girl, we can hang out, only to get something from a person versus really trying to build a bond or a relationship with that person outside of the professional setting.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's going to be the basis for connection and longevity, really. So in my space, fortunately, I've been a Forbes.com coach. I found that I was able to tell the stories of people that are doing great things, but even what we're moving forward with the Homegrown Brand Summit, I'm actually connecting with those entrepreneurs that can add value to your listeners and to other businesses and communities. And it's not just a transactional thing to say, hey, come talk and speak at my event, or let me write an article about you. But it's like, what can we do together to help grow the community, to help grow the knowledge base, so that we can all go up together?
Mm.
You know, because there's been such a long history of economic disadvantages, social disadvantages. And so when you, oh yeah, I know Brass, right? Show him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you can come together to overcome some of those historic disadvantages and say, you know what, we're going to create some new opportunities.
Yeah.
When you're genuine, and that's one of my key things, when you're genuine, you'll start to see some things shift. And it goes back again to that connection, to that mission, and to that message.
Right.
And that is where the character of whatever it is that you're representing, mm-hmm. and of yourself, is definitely going to shine in your endeavors as well as your events.
I want to throw out, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to throw out a couple of things as we talk about data very quickly.
Yes.
The rise of the black female entrepreneur. There are about 2.4 million black women-owned businesses in 2008. This is according to Forbes and to the Small Business Association.
Yes.
Most owned by women 35 to 54. Black mm-hmm. women are the only racial or ethnic group with more business ownership than their male peers, according to the Federal Reserve,
yes.
which is the national bank, which is the big boys.
Yes.
That's where they print the notes.
See, this is a great segue between my sis here, Dr. Sis. I'm going to call her Dr. Sis.
Dr. Abrams.
Dr. Abrams. Yes. And me, because, you know, black women are definitely growing by leaps and bounds. Uh-huh. And, you know, we need some support in that particular effort.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Baltimore is consistently ranked as top 20 cities to start a business.
Yes. And that's why I'm going to sow some seeds today in the Baltimore community for those that are entrepreneurs or want to be entrepreneurs. We're going to provide you some support.
Most people tend to believe that Baltimore is a barren city, that this is a city that does is devoid of opportunity.
I'm so glad you said that. I am so glad you said that, because let me tell you, Baltimore has inspired me so much. I'm born and raised in Ohio, been in Baltimore for about 14 years.
Yeah.
But because I was inspired by the youth and by the creativity and the talent in this city, I actually started an international tech platform based here that's going to grow waves. So Baltimore, I believe that Baltimore has gotten a bad rap, and part of my mission is to rebrand the city and rebrand the talent to show what we can provide economically to the GDP. We going to do it.
We are going to do it. We are going to do it. All right, so let's talk about this Homegrown Brand Summit.
Yes. Homegrown Brand Summit is the first of its kind. It's 100% live, 100% virtual, international, and we're bringing to you some of the top leaders, top thought leaders and entrepreneurs that are really doing things big, big.
And this is all virtual.
All virtual and live. And so, what we're doing is giving you access. So I mentioned that you can read some of my articles on Forbes.com, even BossBabe.com, but sometimes we highlight people and you're like, oh, yeah, that's great. Guess what? I'm bringing them to you. So you get to actually interact with them,
sure.
ask questions, and you get some coaching on the spot for your startup.
So when is this Homegrown Brand Summit?
Saturday, June 22nd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so we're going to sow a seed into some of your listeners today. I asked your producer what's his favorite number. He said 3. So we are going to give away 3 tickets to some of your listeners today.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and it's $75 if you don't get one. Now, if you missed the 3 tickets, then, you know, check me out on Instagram at LuckyFit, LuckyFit, and we'll do another giveaway later on.
That's what I'm talking about, LuckyFit. Okay, so you got this big summit, virtual summit.
Yes.
And people can log in?
Yes, so once they buy their ticket online, they will receive their access online, and then they'll have support to make sure that everything is adequate. And the beautiful thing about this is that the folks that participate, they don't have to buy a plane ticket.
Yeah.
They don't have to put gas in their car.
They don't even have to get dressed.
Well, you know, we want you dressed.
Keep
those pajamas on.
That's what I'm saying. Get the fuzzy pajamas on.
But the great thing is there are so many businesses, like over 30 million businesses that are started from home. And I think a lot of times we forget the beauty of what it's like to start and what some of those things that people go through to start and to scale. And so that's why we're all going to be in our home offices or at our kitchen table or in our living room. We're going to make sure the environment is quiet, but we're just going to nurture that environment so that we can grow it.
But you do have some thought leaders, some business leaders that's going to be a part of the conversation.
Wait, you do not want to miss this.
All right, so here's what we're going to do very quickly. The first 3 callers, we're going to give away some tickets.
Yes.
Call us right now, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. First 3 callers, if you want to be a part of the Homegrown Brand Summit, this is the first virtual summit of its kind.
Mm-hmm.
410-319-8888. 888-888-8888. And Miss Lakeisha Greenway is willing to give you a ticket to sit in your living room to be great.
And get some coaching. And get some coaching. Because, you know, most entrepreneurs, they need to have a line item per year for their personal development.
Can I just say, I guess people want some tickets.
All right. I love it. Thank you.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. Look, we're at the end of the show, but this is what my producer, Alex, is going to get the names and numbers of the individual.
Thank you.
And Lakeisha, you're going to provide the tickets.
Yes, absolutely. They'll be able to log in. And can I tell you a little bit about some of our guests?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, so one is from Ohio. He's an inspirator, works with the LeBron James School, works with the kids there. He's going to provide a motivational message. We also have a former Olympian that is now an attorney and provides some economic resources to other athletes as they transition. And then we also have a former single mother who started a multi-million-dollar brand with daycares and is now coaching other entrepreneurs. So, and then we're going to do some coaching on site for those that attend.
That is, you major right now.
Hey. You know, we leveling up together.
You are leveling up together.
Thank you.
All right, so this is, again, Homegrown Brand Summit.
Yes, and Lucky Fit.
An opportunity, virtual summit, folks.
Yes.
I mean, I've never heard of this, so this is going to be major.
Yes, access.
But you're going to be connecting to some of the movers and shakers all across the country and around the world on how you can get your business and get your brand and get your idea off the ground.
Yes.
Don't be one to suffer from failure to launch.
Don't suffer. We got you. We got your back.
Lakeisha Greenwade, how can people get more information about the work that you're doing?
Thank you. They can log online, www.luckyfit.com. That's LuckyFit.com. Or like my sis said, Google me, baby.
Google. Lakeisha Greenwade, she's the president of Lucky Fit LLC. She's also Forbes.com writer. She's also a organizer for a virtual brand summit.
Yes, Homegrown Brands.
And she is the developer for a new IT project that she's going to come back on to For the Culture to talk about.
Yeah, because the article comes out tomorrow.
There it is. Lakeisha Greenway, thank you so much for being so good for the culture.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to wrap up. I want to thank my dynamic production team. It's Mallory Pinker-Pierre, Alex Blanc, my man Dre Day, my man Sean, for making me sound so good. Thank you so much for being a part of the conversation, both on air and online. Continue to show your support for WEAA. Check out our website at weaa.org. to get your latest podcast or the latest episode of For the Culture, as well as the one for my colleague, the award-winning Today with Dr. K, that can all be found at weaa.org. Stay tuned. Up next, Pam Jones is in the building, sitting in for LaDawn Black. She's going to take you tonight in the groove with some cool jazz, some neo-soul, some R&B. It's going to be real lit. So stay